Welcome to Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. Starting today's program on a very somber note in reflecting what happened over the weekend in Butler, Pennsylvania at the campaign rally for Donald Trump. Dr. James Dobson, the founder and chairman of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, along with Gary Bauer, the senior vice president of public policy for the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, and JDF Vice President Joe Warsak, have issued the following statement regarding the events. The attempted assassination of our 45th president, Donald J. Trump, and the murder and injuring of his supporters in Butler, Pennsylvania, were appalling and tragic. Many have described this historical event as surreal, and it does not reflect the America envisioned by our founding fathers or the overwhelming majority of the American people. We are truly thankful that the malevolent plan to assassinate President Trump and sow further division in our country has failed. Our hearts ache for the family that lost a loved one and for the individuals who were injured. We join Americans across the nation in praying for God's mercy, strength, and healing for these families. Now is the time for Americans to come together and pray for our country's leadership. While we continue to engage in passionate debates and discussions about the issues and the candidates in the upcoming election, we must do so in a manner that never forgets that we are fellow citizens blessed to steward this amazing land of liberty. Let us pause today to remember the values that unite us as one people under God. As President Trump aptly stated, quote, "For this moment, it is more important than ever that we stand united and not allow evil to win." The statement you just heard is available on our website at drjamesdobson.org, and we encourage you to read it and share it with your friends. And then keep in mind, Gary Bauer is the host of the Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom podcast that records every Tuesday and uploads typically every Thursday. But Gary has done a special edition of DFFF for this week for such a time as this, and that new episode posted today. To learn more about how you can hear Gary's thoughts expanded in a full half-hour, 45-minute format on the podcast, go to drjamesdobson.org and click on the link for the Dobson Policy Center. You can find that podcast wherever you get your podcast, Apple, Google, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, wherever you find them, and of course, always streaming at oneplace.com. And now, let's continue with today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Infatuation. Remember, it doesn't start to be love until you give and give and give and give and give and give and give. And when the thrill seemingly is gone, you keep on giving and giving and giving. That's love.
Trying to understand the meaning of love is one difficult thing to do. It's a highly complex emotion, and I'm sure some of us go through our lives not being able to fully comprehend what's happened to us. Genuine love looks a lot like infatuation, because people often get fooled by that first blush of a relationship, and they want to be together 24 hours a day, and they can't imagine life without each other. And yet they run out and they buy a ring and they schedule a wedding, and then they hurry off to get married, and they make a tragic mistake often because they find out they don't even really know each other. They refer to love at first sight. There is no such thing. Love is not something you fall into like you would stumble into a ditch. You know, I've fallen in love. It's something you grow into when you can appreciate the nuances of character and the deeper meaning of the personality and the person you're going to link yourself to. So choosing a marital partner is a delicate thing and must be done with prayer, caution, and I think scriptural principles come into it too. So the question that is posed by our speaker on today's program is how to know you're in love. Actually, I think his speech, his remarks could best be titled The Meaning of Love, because that's where he takes us. So Roger, introduce our guest to our listeners.
Well, Doctor, our guest today is Dawson McAllister, one of the premier Christian broadcasters, hosting a live national radio program for teens and young adults for many, many years. Dawson has since gone home to be with the Lord. He was 74 years of age when he passed away. But the ministry he founded, called the Hope Line, still continues today. It's a 24-hour online counseling chat for young people, and every year they help millions of teens and young adults work through the emotional and spiritual problems they're facing, as well as offering help for addiction and suicide prevention. Dawson McAllister was the author of several teaching manuals for kids and parents and youth workers as well, and his legacy lives on even today. So now let's listen in to Dawson McAllister for his classic presentation right here on Family Talk.
Perhaps the greatest influence on your life right now is your date life, your thought life, your sex life, and how you're handling all of that. Statistics now tell us that from your generation, up to 50% of your generation will make a wrong decision. That is to say that up to 50% from your generation will either marry the wrong person or be the wrong person for the one they married. They made a drastic mistake. Why? Many reasons for divorce, but I'll tell you one of them, as I've already mentioned, you married the wrong person or you are the wrong person for the person you married. So that the second most popular question asked me by the American teenager is simple. How can I know I am in love? Well, tonight, I can't really tell you how you can know you are in love. I can't say your liver will quiver. Or, oh, you'll just know. What I can from Scripture is this. I can share with you from Scripture how you know you have a loving relationship. And loving relationships make pretty good marriages. In fact, I can share with you how you can know the difference between love and infatuation. And that's what I want to do tonight. I want to give you an emotional eye test. The difference between love and infatuation. Well, let's first of all talk about what is infatuation. By the way, there's nothing wrong with being infatuated. In fact, almost every relationship starts out in infatuation. But you wouldn't want to get married on it. Infatuation is the emotional impulse of love. It feels like love. It looks like love. It acts like love. You can't eat. You can't sleep. You can't drink. Good thing it's not love. You'd die soon. Oh, it feels like it. The only problem is it has not passed some very important tests. And what are those tests? The test of time. The test of negative circumstances. And watch this, is based on very little understanding of what the other person is really like. People say that love is blind. Love is not blind. Infatuation may be blind, but love is not blind. What infatuation thinks is it's some mist that falls upon you when your eyes meet between the east and the west wing of school. And this mist is so emotional, it is so powerful, it is so temperamental, that it so overwhelms you that when it falls upon you, you must get married. Ah, but when the mist leaves you, you must get divorced. Think of all of the love songs, all of the movies you have seen, that are really based on infatuation. I remember in my era, yes, they had music then, they had these two rocks and a stick. In the Beatle era, and I remember a song by the Beatles, falling, yes, I am falling, and I keep falling in love with her, just met her. We had some other classics. Yummy, yummy, yummy. I've got love in my tummy. Could be heartburn, might turn to gas, we don't know. Might be what you ate. And you could probably think of some from your generation as well that are basically just based on infatuation. What is love? Well, love is more difficult to describe, but I will basically say this. Love is an emotional need. You already know this, but the most strongest desire that we have psychologically is to love and be loved. Love is an emotional need, watch this, and an act of the will. That's something we tend to forget. You say, well, Dawson, are you married? The answer is yes. Are there moments when you feel great highs for your wife? Right, I do. Are there times when you feel lows for your wife? Right, I do. But whether I feel a high or a low, basically, I'm still married. Why? Because love is an act of the what? Will, and not simply your emotions. Love is an emotional need and an act of the will that is based on a clear understanding of what the other person is like. Love is not blind. Lust is blind. Love is not blind. Love takes a long look at the other person emotionally, spiritually, mentally, socially, physically, and then love acts. What I'm saying is this. When you come to the altar with Mr. or Miss Wonderful, you can get a lot better jump on what this person is like than most people have. The Bible says, how naive, how foolish to make a decision without the facts. With that in mind, then, let me now give you the emotional eye test. If you have your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is the love chapter. What I'm going to do is this. I'm going to give you the definition from Scripture. For example, love is patient. In 1 Corinthians 13, we have the basic definition of love. From that, I'm going to give you a principle as to the difference between love and infatuation. First of all, the Apostle Paul says love is patient. Here we go. Infatuation is in a big hurry and wants to change the character of the one being dated. Love can wait, fully accepting the character of the one being dated. Infatuation is in a big hurry and wants to change the character of the one being dated. Love can wait, fully accepting the character of the one being dated. Infatuation is in a hurry. Rush, rush, rush. Infatuation is usually in a rush. Why is infatuation usually in a rush? Because there is a strong desire to keep up the hyped emotions. But that's not really love, that's infatuation. You say, well, Dawson, do people fall in love? No, they fall in ditches. You say, well, Dawson, is there love at first sight? Well, not really. Let me explain that. Let's say you want to grow the world's greatest plant. I don't know why, but let's just say you did. So you got the world's greatest seed and the world's greatest sunlight. There's only one, by the way, that I know of. The world's greatest fertilizer. We get all of that together, and the world's greatest seed, we get all of that together. Would we have a plant? No. What's missing? Time. What do we have? Good chemistry for a good plant. What's missing? Time. You say, Dawson, I meet some guy or some girl. I've met some guy or some girl. And there was just this attraction. And I said, I am in love. No, that was not love. That was chemistry. Good chemistry. What's missing? Time. You are in love, or you think you're in love, or you know somebody who thinks they might be in love. Your greatest friend is what? Time. Why? Remember, love is a growing process. Any amount of growth takes time. If you're not sure, don't. If you're still not sure, wait some more. Why? Time. You say, time for what? What am I waiting on? Time to find out what the other person is really like. Now, you can't get 100%, but like I said, you can come closer than most people. You want to ask some real hard questions. One of the first ones you'll want to ask is this. What happens when this person is disappointed? You know why? Give your marriage about 36 hours and I guarantee you'll disappoint them. What is this person like when they're crossed? Why? Give yourself 48 hours and you're going to cross them. Is this person neat or is this person sloppy? There's some more. What does this person think about God? Oh, we've talked about this, but let's talk about it again. Remember, the deepest desires you have outside of being loved is what? God. So don't get this vague talk about God. What does this person really stand with Jesus Christ? I would say that one of the biggest complaints of Christian married women across the country is that their husbands do not lead them spiritually. Watch this one. Is this woman or this person romantically, mysteriously quiet? A person who is romantically, mysteriously quiet in dating may end up a bore in marriage. Same person. My wife and I always like to go to restaurants. When we get to restaurants, we like this little game. We try to pick out who's dating and who's married. The married people have what we call the 12-foot stare. They're just sitting there, and one stare is going this way over his shoulder, and one stare is going this way over her shoulder, and they're staring. It's called the 5-year stare. And here are the people who are dating. Oh, isn't this wonderful? They're just really into this. Oh, it's so, oh, it's so wonderful. Isn't this wonderful? Oh, you're wonderful. I'm wonderful. Everybody's wonderful. Oh, isn't this great? Let's connect. Oh, it's really wonderful. What happened? Well, after a while, for one thing, the one was exaggerated, the people dating, and the other one, in so many cases, simply quit growing. Simply quit growing. What happened? They didn't develop their communication skills. What are we saying? I am simply saying that all of this takes time. And infatuation is in a big hurry.
Kid came up to me to a conference not too long ago, and he says, I'm in love with this girl, and I want to tell her that I want to marry her. What should I do? I said, how old are you? He said, 16. I said, well, I don't want to be cutting, man. I want to really be loving to you, but you probably really don't know what love means. And I've always told guys, don't tell a girl you love her unless at the same time you're willing to say, I'm committed to marrying you. I said, secondly, let's say you really do love her, even though you probably aren't totally sure what all that means. I'm not, by the way. We're all just babes in love, aren't we? We are growing in love, if we are growing at all. We are growing in the areas of love. I said, but let's say you do love her, and you told her, I love you. What could you do about it anyway? You ready to get married? He said, no. I said, can you support her? He says, no. I said, then what are you talking about? Let's get married. I said, you are into the rush, rush, rush. Calm down. It may change. Infatuation's in a big hurry. Love can wait. And watch this. Infatuation wants to change the character of the person being dated. Now, this almost seems like a paradox, but it's not. Infatuation sometimes will do this. Oh, there's 80% of this person that I really like. Oh, he's so wonderful. White horse, white hat, guns, kisses the girl at the end of the movie. But there's 20% of this person I do not like, and I'm going to change them. I don't want to get you depressed. Ready for this? But their basic personality is set. Now, they may change. God in time may change them. They may change, but basically their personality has been set. So when you try to change them, do you know what you do? You get them all insecure. Get them on performance. Get them all worried. Mess around with their self-image. No, and that's not love anyway. Love says, I care all about you. I've studied you. I've thought about you. I've prayed about you. Marital love says, I care all about you. I've seen you and I care about you. And even if you don't change. In fact, you ought to be able to say to the person you're going to marry, after you find out their qualities, I would be willing to live with you just the way you are, even if you don't change. That's a heavy. But I tell you what, if somebody bugs you, little things bug you in the dating relationship now, when you get married, the bug grows into a monster. Love is patient. That's number one. Here's number two. Love is kind. Love is kind. Infatuation quickly forgets deeds which are helpful to the other person. Infatuation quickly forgets deeds which are helpful to the other person. Love continues to give and give and give and give and give. 2 hours ago, I was talking to my wife. In case you hadn't heard earlier, she fell and hurt her knee. Now, I want you to know that I'm going to fly back to Denver tomorrow afternoon. By tomorrow night, I will be a complete zombie. Monday, the 12-foot stair. I begin to function a little bit on Monday night, and I'm halfway human on Tuesday. By Wednesday night and Thursday, I'm human, and I leave Friday morning to become inhuman again. And I said, how are you doing with your knee and with the baby? She says, it really hurts. And I swallowed hard, and I said, look, don't worry about it. When I get home, I'll take care of the baby, and I'll take care of you. Gulp. Because I'm going to want to get home, and I'm going to want to say, why didn't somebody take care of me? I gave away all that I had twice in Dallas, Texas. But I know what's going to happen. 3 o'clock in the morning. Nyeh! 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 Now, I have already developed the ability to act like I'm asleep when I'm not. Most men learn this incredible ability. Oh, and then the morning we go, oh, didn't the baby sleep all night? No, you slept all night. And I know what's gonna happen. One time I saw my wife get up to go to the baby, and she just kept making S shapes all the way to the bedroom. And she was just like she was drunk or something. I felt bad, just not bad enough to get up and help her. However, I felt, you know, bad. Took me another 30 seconds to go to sleep. You know, nice guy me. But I know what's going to happen when I get home. I know what's going to happen. I got to give and give and give and give and give. And when it hurts, give some more. That's tough. Now, usually when we start out in a dating relationship, we do pretty well, hey guys? We give and give and give, little notes in the locker, phone calls until our parents are going el nutso. 10 minutes per call, no calls after 10 o'clock, you know. Calls 3 after 10. Sends the girl flowers. When I was a senior or junior in high school, no, I was a senior in high school, it's irrelevant. Whenever it was, I sent a girl a dozen dead roses. All my buddies thought that was funny, but the girl didn't think it was funny. And so you start to give and give, and then it starts to slow down. It starts to get monotonous, and you say, wait a minute, I thought we were in love. No, that was not love. That's infatuation. Remember, it doesn't start to be love until you give and give and give and give and give and give and give. And when the thrill seemingly is gone, you keep on giving and giving and giving. That's love. I went to school in St. Paul, Minnesota, a school called Bethel College. And there was a guy there from northern Minnesota, a place called International Falls, which is the end of the world. You know, there's one bobsled, one hockey puck, and a Coke machine, and the abominable snowman. That's it. Well, I had a buddy, really neat guy, but he was about 10 years behind. You ever met somebody like that? Nice person, but they just stepped out of a time machine, you know? They're going, where have you been, you know? And, you know, first of all, he had a pair of engineer boots. Remember those things? Who knows, they're probably back again. But at any rate, it all goes in circles. Never throw away a tie. And had taps on the soles and taps on the heels. And windows would break, walls would fall down. Then he had a pair of jeans he never took off. He was afraid to. That's how strong they were. Caked by grease. And he had a black leather jacket with 87 zippers. Yeah, they'll be back. They're a real classic. You can never remember where you put the last piece of paper. You got to look through 87 different pockets. That's a real fun thing. Then he had what's called a chopper. You know what a chopper is? It's a cross between a Learjet and a tricycle. Well, he had a girlfriend, too, and people were always saying, what does she see in him? Which I thought was a pretty good question. Like I said, he was a friend of mine. Well, he graduated, and they got married. He went on to law school. They gave him about a 10% chance to make it. Like I said, he was a friend of mine. He graduated in the top 50% of his class. In fact, even higher than that, I couldn't believe it. I saw him years later and I said, Steve, how did you do it? You know what he said? My wife. He said, I am what I am because of my wife. He said, she believed in me. She worked. She helped me type out those miserable law papers and study for those miserable law exams. He said, I would not be anywhere near what I should be apart from my wife. Men, lest I sound the least bit chauvinistic. Oh, listen to me. Women almost by intuition know how to give to make a relationship work. You ready for this? Do not, I repeat, do not get married unless you are willing to make your wife the second most important priority in your life. God first, your wife and family second, then comes your job, then comes your toys, then comes your hobby, then comes all these other things, because if you don't do that, she will get bitter and she's got a pretty good case.
Well, you've been listening to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, and I'm Roger Marsh. Today, our guest on the program has been Dawson McAllister. Now, Dawson has since gone home to be with the Lord. He was a world-renowned speaker and counselor for teens and young people. And if you'd like to learn more about his ministry, The Hope Line, that continues even today, go to drjamesdobson.org/Family Talk or visit the Family Talk app right there on your smartphone. Now, today we heard a lot about what new love feels like. You probably know what I'm talking about. You know, you meet somebody that you really enjoy spending time with, and you think about them all day long, and you can't imagine life without them, and it's a love that's so intense it literally sweeps you off your feet, and it might cause you to make an impulsive decision or two. You know, couples can often mistake this early stage of infatuation for real love, that deeper love that comes with fully giving to each other through all the highs and lows each and every day. If you're looking for a resource to help you address the common misconceptions of love, you'll definitely want Dr. Dobson's book called Head Over Heels, How to Fall in Love and Land on Your Feet. We'll be happy to send you a copy as our way of thanking you for your gift of any amount in support of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute today. So go online to drjamesdobson.org/Family Talk, and then click the link at the bottom of today's broadcast page. That's drjamesdobson.org/Family Talk. Now, before we leave the air today, I want to remind you about a special podcast that's up at drjamesdobson.org that's also available at oneplace.com, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google, wherever you get your podcast. It's this week's edition of Gary Bauer's outstanding public policy podcast here at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute called Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom. This week, Gary has done a special podcast that he posted early. He posted it today, and it's all about in-depth analysis of what we can make as Christians about the state of our republic after the assassination attempt on former President Donald J. Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania this past Saturday. You can hear Gary's podcast in its entirety when you go to oneplace.com right now, or you can listen online at drjamesdobson.org or wherever you get your podcasts. And by the way, make sure you check out the Dobson Policy Center and Dobson Culture Center as well. Outstanding resources to learn more about how the biblical worldview impacts public policy and why our biblical influence is so important in the culture today. Well, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.